All right, what I want to do is just point out some. I want to basically walk you through your notebook. Now, if you're new, you've got your notebook. If you're old, you might have an old notebook that we did, you know, that you had from last year or from years prior. If you don't have your notebook, that's okay. Maybe you can just kind of look on with somebody nearby just so you can kind of see the things that I'm pointing out to us. If you came today, you're new, and we didn't have a notebook for you, I'm so sorry. We'll make sure that we have that for you by the next time we meet together. Allie will get that all taken care of for you. And by the way, if and when you see Allie, please, it would be a huge encouragement to her just if you just said, hey, thanks for everything you do. She helps administrate all of this and get food lined up and things like that, and putting all these things together. Both she and Heather work on this stuff together. But to get ready for the first week of, 80 people and all the resources ready and everything lined up so that we can all come in and do this, that's not me. But it is Bobby's wife, Allie, and she's feeling it. She's a little under the weather and couldn't even make it today. So Bobby was a good husband and said, stay home and sleep. So anyway, just give thanks to Allie. If you don't know who she is, I'll point her out to you, and you can be an encouragement to her. So let me kind of walk you through what's in your notebook. If you turn your notebook over to the back side, you'll see the disciplines on the back of your notebook. If you are looking at an old one, you cannot see what is new on the back. We are making some changes we've made some changes to build this year. So those of you who are new, you don't know what it was. Minor changes. There are only 5 disciplines now rather than 6. I know your sheet today said 6. That's one place I forgot. I didn't catch the change. In the past, we've had discipline 6 be the vision and the purpose of Grace Bible Church. We dropped it, not because we don't like the biblical vision and purpose anymore. I hope you could tell that we still like that. But it's really not a discipline. We put it in there because we wanted it to have a primary place in what we're doing. But how do you be disciplined about a biblical vision and purpose? What we do every year is we teach it at the beginning to show where Build and Wellspring fits into it, and then we go on to the other disciplines. And so it's strictly not truly a discipline. So we just took it out. And so if you want, Allie will give you all of the new stuff as well for your notebook if you have an old one. But there's 5 disciplines that are there. Let me just briefly read through those 5 with you. And then what's going to happen every week we get together is Scott Demarest, if he is here and is able to, he will walk through each of these 5 in about 10, 15 minutes just as a review, because we want to ingrain these things in our mind. So we'll just keep talking about these things over and over and over and over, because we need to have them imprinted on our mind. You need to be just thinking heart, home, ministry. If you just kept those 3 things in mind, guess what? You're ready to disciple people. You're ready to step into the lives of other men in the church, and you're ready to care for people. What do you talk about? Hey, tell me how your time is with the Word of God. How's your heart doing with God and His Word? That'd be a great conversation to have with another brother. Hey, tell me how it's going in your household. And tell me about your ministry at work. Tell me about your ministry at school. Tell me about your ministry in the church. Those would be really good things to talk about. So heart, home, ministry. Heart, home, ministry. And then there's also 2 others. So here's discipline 1, the heart. The faithful leader shepherds his heart worshipfully toward God through the Word of God. Discipline 2. The faithful leader is concerned for those in his home and shepherds them toward God with the Word of God. Discipline 3, the faithful leader with a heart and home oriented toward God and His Word steps into the GBC family to shepherd others toward God with the Word of God. Discipline 4, the faithful leader prayerfully pursues the character of a qualified deacon or elder in the church according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. That does not mean that we have it planned and determined for you that you will be a deacon whether you like it or not, or you will be an elder. No, that just means we're setting up the qualifications for an exemplary lifestyle, which is found in the deacons and the elder qualifications, and we're setting them before you to say, hey, Why don't you just pray about your life matching that? Who knows what God might do with you someday in the local church? Discipline 5, the hermeneutic. The faithful leader disciplines himself to carefully interpret the word of God to discover what God meant by what God said in his word. We'll do that towards the end of the year. And if you'll notice that every single one of these starts off with the faithful leader. The faithful leader. I want to make this clear to you. You are a leader. You are by nature of being a man and by nature of what the Bible says about believing men. You're a leader. You're a leader in your home. And the only the leaders in the church are God's men. And so you need to be a man who is pleasing to him. You need to be a faithful man. And if you'll notice at the top, build says on the new sheet, so those of you guys looking at the old one, build used to stand for many years, B-U-I-L-D, Becoming United in Leadership Disciplines. That's what we called it. And I'll explain why we're making some adjustments here in a moment. But now build is building the disciplines of faithful leaders. It's the same idea. We're building ourselves up in these leadership disciplines, but we're building the disciplines that are found in faithful leaders. So there's your five disciplines there. Open up to the middle or into your book. And right in the very beginning, and if any of you guys grabbed the guts that were sitting, the extra stack, you can see that's the schedule. I want you to look at the schedule next, okay? The schedule is right there. Don't, if you put in your mind, oh, Build meets every other Saturday. We didn't meet last Saturday, so I bet we meet this Saturday. At some point in the year, you will catch yourself wrong, and you will be showing up on a Saturday that we're not here, or you won't come. And we were here. So make sure you look at the dates. They're all right there for you. And then what you'll see in the discipline column is you'll see that what we're doing is we're just instructing each time that we meet on one of those five disciplines. Every year I do it a little differently. This year I'm going to basically just go right through. Discipline, you can see on September 12th, the heart. The 10th of October, the heart. The heart, the heart, the heart. We're going to do five lessons on the heart before we ever touch the home. On that discipline. We'll touch on the home in December, and then we'll come back and then keep going. The heart, the home, ministry, ministry, kind of a lesson on all of those things, and then the qualifications and the hermeneutics. So you can see that we're progressively making our way through each of the five disciplines that we have. And the next column over, it's either some kind of a title about what we're going to do in that, or it's the passage of scripture that we will be in that covers that. Okay? So that's your schedule that you want to look at. Put that into your phone. Get those dates into your phone or your calendar, whatever. Now, turn that schedule over, and there's something on the back. And this is where I want to, this is kind of what it helps you understand the changes that we're making to build, that the elders are after. We want you to understand where Grace Bible Church's, this ministry, Build, fits into the larger scheme of what we're doing with men in the church, okay? Where does this fit? 2 Timothy 2:2 is what has been guiding us. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "The things which you have heard from me," Paul says to Timothy, "in the presence of many witnesses." And what were those things that Timothy heard from Paul? It was the sound words that Paul mentions in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. It's the sound doctrine. It's the apostolic teaching that was revealed to them that they might instruct the church with. It's the New Testament. It's the Bible. Okay? So these things that you've heard from me, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, Timothy, here's the imperative, entrust these to faithful men. Now you know where we got the word, the adjective faithful. Faithful leaders, faithful men. And what will these faithful men be able to do? They will be able to teach others also. Okay? It doesn't say, Timothy, or Paul didn't say to Timothy, they are able. What did he say? They will be. But what kind of a man do you need to be first? You've got to be a faithful man. So when you take the deposit of the truth and the doctrine of the apostles in the New Testament, you've got that trust. Who do you entrust that to? What does it say? Faithful men. Not just any kind of men. In fact, one of the most dangerous things a church can do is take theology and give it to what kind of men?
Unfaithful.
Men who aren't disciplined to become godly men. That is a train wreck waiting to happen in a local church. Because listen, there's all kinds of guys who are really interested in theological stuff and really like to know it and like to get it all tightened down really tight, and they're not walking with Jesus very well. And that's a disaster waiting to happen in the church. And so where does build fit into this? Well, you can tell. Build is building the disciplines of faithful leadership. This is the ministry at Grace Bible Church where we are really trying to help men walk with them so that they become the faithful men. Because if we do not, think about this, we could just sit back and do nothing as elders and say, God will provide faithful men. He will. And you know what? Because God loves his church, he will. He loves his church more than we do, right? There will be. But we want to participate in what he says he wants. And so this is a ministry that we hope that will that God would be pleased to use to help men become faithful men. Because why? Why do we need faithful men in the church? Because this church needs to last beyond its current elder pastor leadership. And we need to take this doctrine and this New Testament teaching, and we need to take it and entrust it to whom? Faithful men, that next generation. And they may not at this point be ready to teach others, but what does it say? They will be. They will be. So here's the church's marching instructions with men. Number one, you better be doing something. It doesn't have to be build. It could be really organic. It could be just guys meeting with guys and with their Bibles open. But the point is that there needs to be a discipleship of men in the local church where the men are becoming faithful to God kinds of men. We're defining that with discipline 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Can a church do it in another way? I hope so. I hope they can find a better way than this. But this is the way we're doing it. It's got all of its bumpy, rough edges, and it's not great, but it is what it is, and we're committed to it. We're going to keep doing it. We've been doing it for 11 years. There's been fruit from it. We're excited about it. We want you to become faithful men. Because then there's the next layer of leadership development after that. If you're getting men and they're showing themselves to be men, they're like, you know what? I want this disciplined lifestyle. I want to be a man who shepherds my heart well with the word. I want to care for my family well, and I'm doing the best I can by his grace, and I'm stepping into ministry wherever I can in the church, and I'm caring for people, and I'm caring for people outside of the church with the gospel, and they're showing themselves to be faithful in that. We want those kind of men to next be in the next layer, which is called the trust. And this is where SMED has to deal with this. This is what's been called H3. And he's changing the name of it. We're not going to change the name of Build. Build is what Build is. But we're trying to figure out a way to name these or talk about these three different ministries we're going to mention here. Build, and then that's focusing on the man, right? This is the ministry that focuses on the man so that he becomes a faithful man. We're just calling this ministry Build. The next layer of leadership needs to be about the trust, that we take what has been entrusted to us in the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, and we have to entrust that to other men. That's H3, or what SMED is calling the trust now. What SMED does in that ministry is he walks the men of the church in a year through basically the theology of what the elders believe at Grace Bible Church. So it's kind of like a systematic theology class. Build meets every other Saturday. H3, or the trust, meets every week during the week. There's more homework with it. You're learning bibliology, what's the Bible all about. You're learning theology proper. You're learning Christology, pneumatology, soteriology. You're walking through each one of these theologies. But that group that does that are men who have done this well. Look, listen, you can attend every one of the builds and not be a faithful man. We know that. But what we're looking for is men who are learning to walk and striving to walk. And if they do a good job of that and they're showing that they're in process, we want them to then next be in the trust. You can go through that. And what Spitt also does in the trust is really great. He assigns you a passage, and or you get to pick a passage. And then all year you work on it, and at the end of the year you get to preach a 20-minute message / sermon. It's absolutely terrifying and the most thrilling thing that any of you will ever do. It is great. And Smed is the best because he just holds your hand the whole way and wipes your tears from your eyes. And gives you a kick in the backside when you need it. It's great. And what we're trying to accomplish in the trust is that you would understand, oh, this is the way my elders think theologically from the Bible. And because you're learning to handle a passage, you're learning to handle the Word of God the way that the elders here think the Bible should be handled. We're not trying to condemn anybody else outside of this church who has a different theology or handles the Word of God differently than we do. We're just doing what we do because we are who we are, and we want to be faithful to this passage and to what God has for us. So that's the trust. The men who then are learning to grow in their theology say, yeah, you know what, I'm lined up with the elders at this church in regards to its theology. And I see the way the elders handle the Word of God here, and I've been practicing that as well. Then there is another ministry that we have, and this is so that we can help these men be able to teach others also, and that's the task of shepherding. And shepherding with the teaching ministry of the Word of God, that's called shepherdology. And this is where we're trying to release men into the body to shepherd. These are men that are going to be looking like, you know, these guys look like they could be pastor elder someday in this church, or maybe in a plant or on the mission field. And so we're going to meet with those men to specifically talk to them about shepherding and pastoral ministry and what it means to elder and how we use the Word of God in our eldering. And so you can see there's three different layers of ministry by which we're trying to fulfill 2 Timothy 2:2. We're focusing on the man, and then we focus on the trust, the deposit of sound words that God has given to us through the apostles, and then we're focusing on shepherding. And that's our plan at Grace Bible Church, to help this church continue past this generation of people who are here. This is not about building any person's name up or any one group of men up. This church, that's repugnant to these elders here. What we want is for men to be godly men who can be entrusted with God's word, who can then turn around and shepherd people. That's what matters. And so build has its place in all of that. Okay. So now, with that in mind, take a look at your first tab. It says the heart, right? And if you are working off of your old notebook, this is the same. But if you have a new notebook, there's nothing in it. What you're going to do, I'm so sorry that this says D6 at the top. That means discipline 6. It doesn't exist. But anyway, what you'll do with your notes is you'll put your notes in whichever one of the 5 disciplines it fits in. Since we're talking about the vision of purpose, it doesn't fit in one, so just put it at the back or put it at the front, wherever you want. It doesn't matter. But in discipline 1 there, that category, if you go to the back of it, towards the end of it, right before the D2 tab, there's all kinds of resources in there for you. It starts with discipline 1, the heart, and it just says heart categories for consideration. Do you see that? It's before the Bible reading plans. And there's just several pages of a bunch of passages of Scripture that have to do with the heart. Okay? There's no assignment with this, but basically what we started doing 11 years ago is we started saying, you know what? What passages of Scripture would I go to address the heart of man? Well, I need to know where the Bible talks about the heart of man. So we cataloged all of them. Not all of them. There's many that are missing. But this is where all these lessons came from. And so now if you want to do more study on your own about the heart, well, there's some categories for you already here that you can take a look at if you want. The next one says the discipline 1, the heart. It's the heart in the New Testament. I just bulleted statements about the heart from the New Testament. So it's kind of a condensed version of the original one there. The next one is an interesting one. It's discipline 1, the heart. The 856 occurrences of heart in the New American Standard. I took a New American Standard concordance. And what this one looks like, if you can't see it, it has all of the books of the Bible listed, and there's a number behind it. And what that tells you is in Genesis, the heart in the New American Standard is listed 8 times. In Exodus, it's listed 33 times. And so what was interesting to me as I went through that and just did that, I thought, okay, I'm going to pick my top five favorite books of the Bible. John. Ephesians. I'm making stuff up now. James. And any others, okay? Two others. If you go to John, how many times is heart mentioned? 6 times. If you go to Ephesians, how many times? 9 times. Go to James, 5 times. So that's what, 20 so far in 3 books? If I only read those 5 books of the Bible over and over and over and over, I'm going to be exposed to what the Word of God says about the condition of the heart in some way, shape, or form 20, 30, 45 times. But take a look at Ezekiel. How many times is the word heart mentioned? 31 times. When was the last time you read Ezekiel? You need to know what God says about the human heart in Ezekiel. What about, oh my goodness, Proverbs, mentioned 69 times. So what this serves to show you is that you can really impoverish yourself by not going to some of these obscure books of the Bible, obscure to you and me, not obscure to God. Very obscure. Yeah, exactly. That seem to be obscure to us, and you can be missing what God's trying to say about the heart. Now, every word is to be brought to the heart, but there are specific things in the Word of God that are said about the heart that you need to understand. And again, it's not a piece of you. It's who you are before God inwardly. After that, then, you finally come to the reading plans that are in the back of Discipline 1. And there's several here for you to choose through. How might you read through the Bible in a prayerful, worshipful way? Well, there's a chronological reading plan that's given to you. It'll start in Genesis 1, and on December 31st of that year, you'll end with Revelation 22, right? Is that where it ends? Oh, you know, this one's different. It starts in October. We took this chronological plan, and we started at October 1 because of the build calendar, you know, because we kind of start in October. So in October, you'll read Genesis 1, and then it'll finish what at the end of September. And it looks like there's a number off on that. 19 to 22, yeah. The next one over is a 52-week Bible reading plan. So that's read through the Bible in a year. And the way that this one is designed is on Sundays, you read epistles. So you'll read from Romans down to Jude. On Mondays, you read the law, Genesis to Deuteronomy. You read the Pentateuch. On Tuesdays, history and so forth. You can see that. And you can just check off as you read. That's another way to read through the Bible in a year, if you want to do that kind of plan. If you go to the next one, it's McShane's Bible reading plan, kind of in little cards. And I took each one of these and I cut them out and I laminated them. So I've got this little, you know, card this big, and that's my, you know, my bookmark in my Bible. And that'll take you through 4 different readings every day. You read about 4 chapters of the Bible a day, and you get your make your way through the Bible in a year. You'll read a little bit of Old Testament, and you'll read some New Testament. Now, obviously, the Old Testament, there's more of that than there is the New Testament, so you're going to be reading more Old Testament many times. But McShane's takes you through the Old Testament once, and is it Psalms and Proverbs and the New Testament twice in a year? So, actually, McShane's will take you through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once, plus Psalms and Proverbs twice, okay? Next one is another Bible. These are just trying to give you lots of options, okay? A Bible reading plan, Old and New Testament together, so it'll kind of be another way to read the Old Testament and the New Testament together in 365 readings. The next one is from, is this from the Navigators? I think it might be. Yeah. The Discipleship Journal, Bible reading plan. This is a really good one as well. Kind of breaks down your 12 months again. Now, so there's your Bible in a year type plans. There's another one, if you've got the newer notebook or the guts from out on the counter out there. This is reading through blank in blank days. And I want you to see that one. Because some of you may be at a place where you're like, you know what, it's really hard for me to read, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days a week right now. And what I read, I read like maybe 5 or 6 verses. And that's where you are. To go, if that's where you are, to go from that to trying to read 5 chapters or 4 chapters of the Bible every single day, when you miss 2 days in a row and you're 8 chapters behind, you quickly grow discouraged. And by the way, that's what's going to happen to many of us. You're going to miss reading 2 or 3 days in a row and you're going to be 12 chapters behind. And so my greatest encouragement to you would be don't even try to make it up. Just pick up where you left off and pray that you have a lifetime to read the Bible. Okay? If you're doing that. But if you're not ready for that, one of the reasons we don't read through the Bible very well is we don't plan for it. We just kind of wake up, we wipe the sleep out of our eyes, and we grab our cup of coffee, and we go, let's see. Oh yeah, 1 Peter, that looks good. And then we read. And then we wonder why the next day, well, where should I pick up, what should I do? Well, I guess I'll find another spot. Oh, Ephesians. And we just kind of read. And so what I want to do is, with this plan here is I'll walk you through the five little steps there. One, you choose the book of the Bible you'd like to read, or you choose a larger portion of a book, like Psalm 19, or Proverbs 1 through 9, or Matthew 5 to 7. Matthew 5 to 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you just say, I just want to read the Sermon on the Mount. And so, number two, you plan out ahead of time how many days you'd like to read that selection. Do you want to read it in 10 days? Do you want to read it in 20 days? Do you want to read it over 30 days? Whatever, you decide. Okay, and which dates specifically? Actually, write the dates in. Make yourself, you're planning. I'm making a plan. This is what I'm going to read on this day. This is what I'm going to read on the next day. It'll help you to be more accountable to it rather than just letting it happen. Number three, divide that selection of scripture up into the number of days of reading you've chosen. Maybe you'll do it by chapter. Maybe you'll do it by paragraph. Maybe you'll do it by, I'm just going to read five verses every day, but I'm going to read five verses every day. I'm going to do it. And then four, now just read, but practice the spiritual discipline of drawing near to the Word of God in order to worship the God of the Word. So read prayerfully, read worshipfully, whatever it is you do. And upon completion of this plan, create another one. I can give you another sheet of this if you want, or you can make up your own, you can make up something better. And then I put the question there, is it time to try yet a read through the Bible in a year plan? Always want to kind of fall back to that, because that's what we want the men of the church to be at some point. Yes?
What's your opinion of audio Bible, podcast, Bible in a year?
Yeah, what are the strengths of those things? The strength of that is you can do it while you're driving or while you're doing something else. Great strength to do. I've listened to the Bible when I run or if I work out or whatever, and there's a great place for that. That lets you bring the Word of God into your life in a way at times when you haven't, that normally you couldn't if you were trying to work out or run. You know, you obviously can't do that even with your phone. It's tough, right? You run into stuff. So that's the plus of that. It's really helpful. It's not the same thing as sitting and having your Bible open. It's just not. I don't want to poo-poo it. It's a good thing. Use it if you can. What a great way to change the way you are, you know, doing your work. If you're mowing the yard, put headphones on and listen to the Bible. That's great. Change the way you mow your yard. But you need to have your Bible open or your app open or your tablet open or whatever it is you have so you're actually seeing words and able to slow down and pause and dwell on something or go, you know, I need to check that over here. What is that? You know, you can go back and forth. You just can't do that when you're listening. So if I had to choose one to live with, it would be having a Bible open or an app open or something like that. So, does that answer your question? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, personally, I don't enjoy reading. Some people read for fun, for pleasure. It's something they enjoy doing. For me, it's always a chore. And you know, when I have to read a large portion of text for you know, in one sitting, it's very difficult. But audio, yeah, I can listen to half hour, 45 minutes, and stay focused. When
you do that, like for 30 minutes or so, are you doing anything else, or are you just sitting and listening?
Actually, right now, the one I'm listening to, it's while I'm showering. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing is all automatic. It's routine. I don't have to put any thought into what I'm doing, so I can concentrate on the Bible while I'm listening.
Yeah. I say, great, praise God, that's good. I do think that there's something really unique that happens when you're actually looking at words and you're studying to or reading prayerfully in that way. Not wanting to say no to that, but and that and reading. So I think it'd be good for any man to make sure you add that to your life as well, whatever portion you can. Jeff,
I was going to suggest. I do this from time to time. You could listen to the audio, and open to the word, and then you're getting it visually and hearing, and it's harder to get distracted, and then you follow through the words.
Yeah, there's good things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way about reading. Sometimes, like, it just doesn't make sense, like, especially when you read those books I have to read for school. They're long and hard, like Last of the Mohicans. They're just...
Wait a minute. Where's that? Oh, sometimes, okay.
Sometimes it's just hard to keep your mind around all that stuff. So, but, like, you know, listening to audiobooks, for me, it helps. So usually I'll just listen to my Bible, but sometimes it is good, like you said, to read the words too. Yeah. So you can, because with audio, you can hear it, but sometimes it just sounds like almost like a movie instead of like reading.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know.
There's unique, it's like how many different ways do you learn? Do you learn if you read? Do you learn if you listen? Do you learn if you put your hands to it? The answer is yes. So take advantage of what you can all across and do it in multiple ways.
I want to relate a story Jacob told me. His good friend Matt Dodd, who's now in Papua New Guinea. Matt used to drive to work and he'd listen to the Bible, but as he'd listen, he'd say it. And he just memorized huge portions of the Bible because he could go through as they were saying it. He'd be one word ahead of her.
Yeah. That's good. That's excellent. Let me take you to the second discipline tab. Discipline to the home. Same thing. If you go to the end of it, or if you've got one of the new notebooks, it's the only thing that's in there. Here's some home categories for your consideration. This is where our lessons came from that we give on the home. Just some different places for you on your own at whatever point you want to study. The second one is discipline to the home. It's women in the Bible. I stole this from the gals in Wellspring. Because they were particularly interested, obviously, in where women are mentioned. But many of you, if not all of you, one day will be married to one of these women like this. And it'd be good for you to know what the Bible says about women as well. There's women in the New Testament as well. It's good for you to know. In fact, one of the things that I'll do is I'll teach to you guys this year Titus 2 on women, verses 3 to 5. Because if you're a leader... your wife or your daughter or your sister or what, you know, anybody who's in your home needs to be able, you need to help them understand what their role is before God as a woman. And if you don't know what it is, you can't lead them to it. Discipline 3 is the ministry. Again, some ministry categories for consideration. Old Testament examples like Joseph's example, Moses' calling, Jethro's advice for Moses. There's good ministry wisdom and principles there for us in all of the Bible, obviously over into the New Testament. And discipline 4, the qualifications, it's just a list there for you of the deacon passages. Acts 6, which is more like prototype deacons in the early church, where the elders were, or the apostles there were functioning as prototype elders, and the seven men that they raised up were functioning like prototype deacons. And then in 1 Timothy 3, you have the deacon qualifications. And then there's passages listed there for you for eldering or shepherding. An Old Testament passage on pastoring, shepherding there, the shepherds of Israel into the New Testament. Some different passages for you to look at. And then discipline 5 doesn't have anything in there for right now, but it will be full at the end of the year. Okay? So there's your notebook, and there's kind of understanding what Build is all about this year. Let me talk to you about what to do when you guys come in every time. We're going to meet in this classroom right here every Saturday that we meet, Lord willing. And what you'll need to do first when you come in is we'll have probably right outside the door here a table. And on that table will be that paper-clipped set stack of papers like this. It'll have a colored sheet on it, blue, green, yellow, whatever. And the white sheet will be your handout that you'll write on and take notes on. The colored sheet will be your homework that you'll do over the next 2 weeks and bring back with you to the next meeting. Okay? After a meeting is done on a Saturday, the following Monday or Tuesday, the audio of it gets uploaded to our website. We record everything that goes on. Obviously, the voice you hear the best is mine when you guys ask questions it's really faint and it's harder to hear. And sometimes there's extended dialogue that goes on in the middle of a lesson. And so it can be kind of like, oh, really straining to hear. But we still record it for you so that if you miss or you want to go back and just listen again, you can listen. These are uploaded also to the website under the Build tab in the Resources section. And you can print these out yourself, or if you've got an app like a PDF Expert or something like that, you can write on it yourself and take notes on it. And those are there for you to go back to. But when you come in, pick this up. Come on in, set your stuff down. We'll have some food and drinks, you know, a light breakfast snack for you, coffee and juice for you each time, and would love for you just to come early. I encourage you to come early. Come at 6:30. Try to aim for 6:30 so that we can start as close to 6:45 as possible. Like today, we didn't even start until almost 7 because it just took that much time to get everybody kind of in. And the next thing we know, you know, we've lost 15 minutes, and I want to be respectful of your time. I'll always end as close to 9:15 as I can. Sometimes it's 9:17. But I want to make sure we end on time, and it just helps if we can start on time, okay? When you come in, that'd be great. You can sign in out there at the table as well. Just check off your attendance that you're here. It helps me to keep track. Again, a guy can come to every single one of these all year long and not become a faithful man. You can come to one of these all year, practice the discipline all hard, and we do not want you to walk away thinking, I'm a faithful man now. A program doesn't do anything like that to you. You've got to walk in this discipline. But it helps us, your attendance helps us to see they were committed, they were able to come. And I know some guys who can't come because work just sometimes takes them away, or many of you are going to get sick at some point, you're going to miss. What matters is that you come back, you've listened, you've done your homework, and it's like you didn't even miss at all. You just had to listen to it, you know, away from the meeting. So check your name off, come on in, listen if you miss. Every time we meet together, Scott will start us off at the beginning with reviewing through these disciplines that are on the back, and he'll say, turn your notebook over, and we'll turn it over, and we'll just go through it again. And for those of you who have been here umpteen times, you'll say, yeah, I know this, but I need to hear it again. And Scott has some really helpful ways of thinking through each one of the disciplines over and over from a different angle. Then what we will do in our time together, that we're not going to do it today, is we will have discussion groups. What I'll do over the next 2 weeks is I'll just kind of put you guys together in different groups. There will be an elder in every single one of the groups. Some elders aren't able to be here every single time, like Tom was only able to be here for part of it, and Jacob will be here when he can, and Eric Martin will be here when he can, but he can't be here for the first three because he's in Japan right now and he's got a vacation. But there will always be an elder in here, and we'll have an elder in each group, and then those groups will be led by men that the elders have picked out to lead those discussion groups. We'll meet from anywhere from 30 minutes to about 45 minutes, and what we'll primarily do in those discussion groups is we'll just talk through your homework. The guys once in a while may talk about something else, whatever they want to talk about, but what we're trying to do in those discussion groups is get a feel for how's this practicing of the spiritual disciplines going for you. The homework will help gauge for that and measure for that, and it gives us a chance that the more you fill out, the more you write, the more we know how you're doing. The less you fill out, put down a one-word answer, it's not very helpful. Okay, so do the best you can. Most guys probably do their Build homework on Friday night before Saturday morning. If you take your time and you do the best you can, is it better to do it on Tuesday or Friday? I don't know. But I encourage you to maybe try to do it sooner than later where it's fresher on your mind. The homework that you're given is not a homework that will take days to do. You could probably sit down in an hour, and if you did it well, do the homework. Because your main homework is not finishing the coloring sheet.
There's coloring sheets?
There should be. For guys like us, there should be. You know that Brian Regan part where he's, where was you? I was on the airplane. That's what came to my mind when you're sitting in the usual class of you're not in first class. And they hand out coloring anyway. That's the first time Brian Regan ever made it into a build meeting. Your primary responsibility is not just to do the colored sheet, your homework. Your primary homework is what? Reading the Bible. And doing it in a worshipful way, a prayerful way. I've got some good resources for you throughout the year to help with that as well. And then after discussion groups for 30 or 45 minutes, we'll take a break. And we'll meet in different rooms in the building. And we'll come back together in here. And that's when we have our lesson. And we'll tackle the ones that are listed, you know, in your list here. Okay? All right. And we'll finish close to 9:15 or so each time. All right? Now, let me point you specifically to your homework. If I can find it again. I do this. Here it is. For today, take a look at your yellow sheet. This is your assignment. It's called What the Word Says About Itself. So we're just going to kind of look at the foundation of what the Bible is. It's due Saturday, September 26th. That's our next time we meet together, 2 weeks from today. As it says there at the top, the primary assignment for Build is to read through the Bible in a year or another well-thought-out plan in order to cultivate this and strengthen the spiritual discipline of daily meeting with God in His Word. If you're not currently using a reading plan, please choose one. And begin no later than October 1, okay? October 1 is just kind of a good day. Look, if you choose a Bible reading plan today and you start it, that's great. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying you don't have to for 2 weeks, okay? But we're just saying October 1 could be a good date, last date to start by. And just remember, each day as you read the Word, and as you do your homework, pray, thanking God for His Word, and asking God to reveal more of Himself to you through His Word. Ask Him to increase your heart's desire to know and love Him, and to help understand why we place such a high value on God's Word. This assignment will take a look at what the Bible says about itself. So you're going to read Psalm 19, and there's a little table there for you to fill out on the back side, some questions for you. Then number two, you just read it several different passages and see what the Scripture says about God's Word, what it says about itself. And then almost, I think, in every single assignment at the end, it will always end with incorporate the observations you made in number two into prayer. There's not a lot of room for you at the bottom, but I encourage you to write out your prayer. If you pray it yourself, that's great. What matters is that it's your heart before the Lord and you're talking to Him about how His Word has impacted you. If you write it out and let somebody else look at it, and you might say, well, that's pretty personal. I don't really, no, that's just weird. I've never written out a prayer and asked somebody else to look at it. And I understand. But it's helpful for your discussion group leader to be able just to kind of get a sense of where your heart's at. And how are you thinking about this discipline of being in His Word? So if you can and would, please write out a simple little prayer. You're not going to be graded on grammar. What we're looking at is, are you giving good thought to this? It's helpful for us to see how you're doing. This might be more accountability. This might be more transparency than you've ever had in your life on just how you're reading the Bible. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. We're not condemning you. We don't want to condemn you for what you do and what it's not and how you're, we're not going to be accenting, you know, in big red pen and giving you a letter grade at the top. It's none of that. We're just trying, look, beggars are trying to help other beggars find the bread. That's what we're after, and we're going to walk together trying to do that, okay? All right. Scott, do you have anything that you want to add or point out?
No.
Okay. Any questions that you guys have that you want to ask as you're jumping into the great unknown? Is there anything those of you who have already many times jumped into the great unknown would want to say to those who are about to jump into the great unknown? What would you, anything you would want to encourage them with or warn them about? David.
Well, I just want to encourage with the Bible reading plan. I did the plan 2 years ago that was contrary to what I like, which is reading a couple chapters of Genesis and then jumping to another book the next day. So it's one of the plans, and that was just really good for my soul. So it was getting out of my comfort zone, and then God, through His Word, showing me that who He is in Genesis 2 is somehow also revealed in a passage that I would never connect.
Yeah.
So that's very helpful.
That's what's fun about reading. What I'm most familiar with is McShane's. So you'll be reading through, what is it, Genesis, Ezra, Matthew, and Acts or something. I forget what it is. Something like that. And what you'll do is you'll read in those sections. There'll be times you'll be going, oh, dude, it's like there's one author over all of this. And it's amazing how it ties in. Yeah, you'll stumble upon the obvious, and it's really encouraging. So thanks for sharing that, David. Anything else, guys? D-Rob.
Can you help paint the picture of what you mean when you say a faithful man? You see it in the text, but it's not necessarily coming to class every day, necessarily understanding the discipline. So.
We'll close with this. It's those three disciplines, a faithful man, that you're striving to meet with God in His Word. Some days you do that well. Some days you don't do it at all. But you're striving. You're on a path where you're striving to know God, the God of the Word, through the Word of God. And that's faithfulness to God. Faithfulness also means that you're caring for the people you live with. The first place of impact you're trying to make is in that home. They need to get that gospel, Bible aroma from you and you first. You're not doing that perfectly, but you're striving to that end for the rest of your life. That's faithfulness. And faithfulness then is you step into the body of Christ, you'll step outside of the body of Christ with the gospel, and you'll do the best you can to be light in a very dark place. That at its core is a faithful man. And I think that's what, if you go to any of the qualifications for deacon or elder, they pretty much fall into one of those three categories. What kind of a man is he before God? What kind of a man is he in his home? And what kind of a man is he with people? So you want to be striving for just that kind of nuts and bolts faithfulness every day. And if this as a class twice a month for 9 months helps you think about that more, then praise God.
Right? I had a word to
yes,
that, that
please.
Impacted me in trying to figure out that same thing, like in a practical sense, what does that mean? It has to be conscious. It doesn't happen automatically. Even if you do that every day, faithfulness implies a conscious decision every day. And some days you'll make it better than others, but it is a conscious decision on your part.
And that's why we call them disciplines.
Yeah.
Because it is a discipline. This stuff just doesn't happen, unfortunately. Okay? Let's pray and we'll close. Father, I thank you for these men. Will you please bless their efforts, Lord, to be faithful to you? Lord, this is not what we're talking about here. This is not the only way to be faithful before you. But Lord, we want to be faithful before you. We want to be intentional in our spiritual growth. And we pray, God, that you might take these feeble efforts of ours and in this ministry and that you bless it, so that we would know you better. And may the Word of God be central in everything that we do in our pursuit of you and our pursuit of one another and in our spiritual growth. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.